How you guys doing? You guys good? Yes. Hey, if you guys have a Bible with you, if you guys have your phones with you, you guys can pull that out. You guys can turn your devices on. Hey, I'm so excited to be with you guys this morning. If you are visiting us, if Semilla is already your spiritual home, we want to say welcome. We are so thankful that you would take the time out of your schedules to be with us this morning. So no matter what you walked in here with, no matter what you are going through in life, our prayer as a community is that you would leave this place encouraged. Our prayer as a community is that you would leave this place a little more hopeful about life, a little bit more hopeful about the future, that you would leave this place challenged, but most importantly, that as we speak about Jesus this morning, that God would whisper into your soul that his name is Jesus. And I want to remind you that the big idea, the main idea as to why we get together on Sundays is not to think more about ourselves, but it's to think more about him. Yes, that's the big idea as to why we do what we do. Now, I think it's amazing that week after week, we have the opportunity to open God's word. We have the opportunity to go to the book, the good book, the only book. We believe this is God's inspired word, and it's not just a book full of rules of do this, don't do that. We believe that in this book, we find life. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. So that's what we believe. And for the next 30 minutes or so, I want us to consider two passages in the Bible, and we're going to have an awesome Sunday, yes? Awesome. So if you guys have your Bible, two particular passages, one's in the Old Testament and one is in the New Testament. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, and in the New Testament, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, and Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. So this week, we're in week 3 of week 10. Of our 10-week series. We are going through the Ten Commandments. This past Friday at Cruz, this past Friday at Cruz was amazing. It was an awesome time. We were able to, we were there till, 1:30, I believe-ish. And we were just hanging out. We opened the Word, and we had, a bunch of donuts and chips, and Isaac was hooking it up, mixing them up with lime and tapatio. We didn't have tapatio, but we had some random sauce on there. But hey, it was an awesome time at Cruz, and I don't know if it was a good idea or not, but at the beginning of Cruz, we handed out a piece of paper to everybody, and we gave everybody a pen and a pencil, and I don't know if this was a good, I'm still trying to figure it all out. We got another piece of paper. We put everybody's name that was there. We ripped it up in pieces, folded them, and handed them to everybody. And we're like, hey, the name you get on this piece of paper, we want you to draw that person. Do a quick sketch. You got 5 minutes. No big deal. No big problem, right? It's just drawing. I was going to bring you some pictures, but I feel like if I brought you some pictures, I was going to roast myself, and I don't know about that, but some of us left offended. I think you had the worst drawing. I know there's a lot of gifts in this church, but drawing isn't one of them. Michael was bald. I know my ears are big, but they were Shrek big. Cynthia looked mean. Honestly, the only picture that looked like this person was Moody. His hat backwards, he was the only person that looked like the guy. But honestly, other than the bad sketches and just the time, if you're not a part of a crew, I want to encourage you to be a part of one. We say this week after week. What we do here on Sundays is a celebration of what we do during the week. And if you're not a part of one, what you're really doing is you're robbing yourself from community that God has for you. You're robbing yourself from the potential and the growth God has for you inside of a community. And yeah, I'm not going to say, yo, stop coming to church. Keep coming to church. We love you. Keep coming. But if you want to experience church at its fullest, If you want to step into what God has for you, then I encourage you to be a part of a crew. It doesn't have to be the English one on Fridays. We have like 13 other ones in Spanish. Like you guys can go ahead and be a part of it. I encourage you guys, like you and I, like we were created to do life together. We were created to do life together. We weren't created to walk alone. And maybe you're like, yeah, like, well, I hate people. I hate life. Hate everybody. I just want to be in my room. Just want to watch Netflix. I hate the sun. I encourage you, take the risk of being part of a community. And maybe right now what you're doing, if what you're doing right now in life doesn't include people, newsflash, that's not what God has for you. Because God's calling in your life will not push you away from people. God's calling in your life will pull you and push you towards people. So it won't pull you away, but it'll push you towards people. Like I want you to think of this. Any Laker fans in the house? Two of you. Okay, for the two of us that love the Lakers, LeBron James, all right? LeBron James, without a doubt, is one of the best basketball players in history. One of the best, no doubt. No one can argue that. Now, can LeBron James win a title by himself? No. If you're like, I'm a Laker fan, but he can't do it by himself. Look at last season, right? Now, this season's going to be a completely different story. We rocked the Golden State Warriors last night, but like even a man like LeBron James, who is one of the best basketball players in the world, cannot win a championship by himself. Now you're like, oh, well, that's because it's a team sport. Now you think of a sport like boxing. If that seems like a one-man sport, right? It's just a guy, he got to beat the other guy up and take him out. But what you realize, it's not just about the guy in the ring. This guy has a trainer. He has a manager, he has a doctor, and if the manager does a bad call, it doesn't just affect him, it affects the guy in the ring. So what seems like a one-man sport is actually a team sport. You think of Jesus, right? Perfect human that walked on earth, even Jesus surrounded himself with 12 guys and a group of three. And if our Savior needed people in his life, we need people in our life. And maybe you've been stuck in your relationship. Like, I'm not even preaching the message yet. Maybe you've been in your relationship with God in the same place for the past 5 years. I want to suggest to you that God has something for you. And you've been asking yourself, God, is there more? I'm here to say, yes, there is more. But it's found in community. So I encourage you, if you are not a part of a crew, do whatever it takes to find one. God has amazing things. God's doing amazing things. What we do here, we're just celebrating what God's doing during the week. Acts 2:42, breaking of bread, fellowship, praying for one another, right? So I encourage you guys, be a part of the crew. With all that to say, you're all officially invited to cruise. But if you guys have a Bible with you, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 20. I hope I gave you enough time to look for those passages. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 1, and then we're going to jump verse 1, verse 2, and then we're going to jump to verse 7, all right? So Exodus chapter 20, look at verse 1, and this is what the Bible tells us. And God spoke all these things, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Jump down to verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now flip over to the New Testament, and we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. This is now Jesus speaking. He says this: Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we have done so many wonders, this is important, in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 in the Message, puts it this way. No using the name of God, your God, in curse or silly banner matter. God will not put up with it in an irreverent use of his name. So the question what I want us to deal with today is very simple. What does it mean to honor God's name? And what does it mean to represent God's name well? So what does it mean to honor God's name? And what does it mean to represent God well? And I'd like to take the next like 20 minutes and title this message, Represent Well. Very simple, Represent Well. Would you guys pray with me and then we'll jump right into it. Jesus, we thank you so much for this time that we can come together and study your word. Would you speak to us in a personal way? Would you challenge us? Would you inspire us? Would you remind us of how much you love us? And even in a passage that's very sobering, very confronting, God, would you remind us of your love? Would you remind us of your grace, Jesus? Would you help me, everything that we say it with love, filter it through love. Jesus, anything you don't want me to say, don't allow me to say it. We thank you so much. We love you, and we pray this all in your name, and we all say amen. For the past couple of weeks, we've been in the book of Exodus, but more specifically, we've been looking at the Ten Commandments. And many people these past couple of weeks have asked me, hey, why are we doing the Ten Commandments? And I want to be clear right up front, this is not a commandment of try harder, be better. This is not one of those, right? The gospel of Jesus is not, hey, do, and then I'll love you. The gospel of Jesus, hey, it's done, I love you, and our relationship to God is always a response of what he's done for us. We love God because he first loved us, right? That's 1 John. Now, before you got your life together, before you got your Sunday's best on, God already loved you. The Bible says that before we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the gospel of Jesus. That's it. That Christ did everything we could not do. That his death on the cross, the resurrection, that's what gives us hope. That's what gives us life. And all we got to do is put our faith, put our trust, and believe that he is who he said he was, right? And so this is not, hey, try harder to get this. And we saw this in week one, that God did not give the Ten Commandments while the people were as slaves in Egypt. Right? God didn't come with some tablets and was like, hey guys, so check this out. I love you guys, but here are some Ten Commandments. And I'm going to be back in a couple of months. And if you guys, like, you know, at least like get a C+ on it, then I'm going to take you guys out. All right? So here they are. Read them, study them, obey them. I'll be back in a couple of months. God didn't do that. God delivered his people. God parted the Red Sea. He plundered he provided for his people. He guided his people. He loved his people. He expressed grace, mercy, love to them. And at Mount Sinai, after all that God did for them, God said, hey, I want to give you a better way to live life. In the Old Testament, there are 613 commandments summarized in 10, which are the Ten Commandments. Jesus comes in the New Testament. Jesus summarizes the Ten Commandments in 2, which is what? Love God and love people. That's what the Ten Commandments are. Love God, love people. The first 4 commandments deal with our relationship with God, loving God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our... Okay, yes? And the last 6 have to deal with our relationships with our neighbors. Like, if I love my neighbor, I'm not going to, like, sleep with his wife. Like, if I love my neighbor, I'm not going to talk bad about him or lie to him. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to steal his stuff. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to get jealous when he gets things. I'm going to celebrate with him. Yes? So the Ten Commandments, really what they are is love God and love people. Now, in week 1, what we saw was have no other gods other than me, right? And what we talked about was the story in the New Testament of the young rich ruler. This guy, he comes to Jesus. He was so good at his horizontal relationships with other people. He comes to Jesus, and he's like, hey, Jesus, so what do I have to do to receive eternal life? And Jesus, we reread this. He starts quoting the lower 6 of the commandments, which are your horizontal relationships with other people. And this man, he's like, yo, I've already done all that. I'm good. And Jesus is like, cool, but you're still lacking one thing. There's still one thing missing. I want you to go and sell all your possessions. Now, we said this. This is not God versus money. This is God versus the idea of God is cool and all, but I want God and fill in the blank. That's what this man believed. God is good. God is cool. But he's not that good that I could give him this area of our life. And what we talked about is that many of us, and what all of us do, the reasons why we have these gods in our life, the reason why we've placed our trust and our faith in these things, it's because there's this debate, this thing happening in our souls, in our minds, where we're not sure if God really is that good. And we're asking ourselves, is God that good? Because if he is not that good, and I hand him this thing, then when I'm lonely, when I'm afraid, when things don't make sense in my life, I'm left with nothing. So is he really that good that I can give him this part of my life? And we said this in week one. If God is God, then God has to be 100% good. Because if he is 99.99 good and there's like a 0.01% not good, then God is not God. And for us to say God is good, but I want God in this, is heresy. It's a bad view of God. It's bad theology. All right, so that was week one. Last week, I think Pastor Robert Dr. Wallace, he gave the shortest message in Semilla history. I wrote this down, 22 minutes and 49 seconds. Like, that's my introduction. Like, right now, I'm already, like, at 22:49, right? Shortest message, but honestly, I think it was, like, the best message. Just so much content in 22 minutes. I went back to listen to that. I think he did like a better job than I could have ever. And essentially what he was talking about, I love this quote. He said, "We were created to reflect God and find our identity in Jesus." We were created to reflect God and find our identity in Jesus. Now, if you haven't listened to those messages, I encourage you to go back, listen to them. But this week, we're going to look at the third commandment, which is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, if you grew up in church, Sunday school, y'all already know. They're like, hey, don't text OMG. Don't say OMG. You're breaking the commandment. You technically are. But there's more to that. Like, that's part of the message. We got to honor God with the way we speak. But that, I always thought that was it. You know, I just got to stay away from the OMGs. You know, instead of saying, oh my God, I got to say, oh my gosh. Right? Because then it's not a bad thing. Right? And like, I grew up, like, believing these things. Well, you got to, don't say this because, like, here's the line. And you don't want to cross the line. So you can say this, but don't say that. You can text this, but don't do that. Right? So that's kind of the way I grew up. Now, it was really interesting studying and getting ready for this week because I ask a lot of questions. And like, that's a good Bible study too. If you're reading the Bible, ask questions. It's healthy. It leads you to discovery, right? So this was the question. Why in the world is God's name so important? Right? Like, God, you have 10 commandments. There's 613. 10. Why is this number 3? Like, you could have said, like, something else that would have made so much more sense. But why is your name so important? And I don't know if you remember high school. Some of you are, like, junior high, and you'll get there one day. But for the rest of us, y'all remember reading Romeo and Juliet? Yeah? What grade is that? Is that like junior, sophomore? Freshman year. Ah, oh, dang. I don't know. You would think someone would write something better than Romeo and Juliet. But if you all remember the story of Romeo and Juliet, it's a story of two star-crossed lovers who have this forbidden love, this love that they can't have together. He's a Montage and she's a Capulet, right? And as Romeo and Juliet would discover that their names are very important, if only they had different last names, then they could be free to be in this love relationship together. Now, this family has some hatred towards each other, right? So they can't be in a relationship together. And I think even in our home, we're living some exciting moments in the Correa family. My brother and my sister-in-law, they're having baby number two. Baby number two is on the way. But it's funny because in the Correa family, we're always fighting about names. We're always fighting about names. And we're like, yo, I'm going to name my child this. And then someone was like, no, I want to name my child that. No, I'm going to name my child this. Well, we're going to see who has a baby first. And you already know your boy, his baby's going to have really bad names because they're ahead of the game. Names are important. That's like one of the most important things. Like, that's the first decision you make as a father, as a mother. Like, okay, I want this name for my child. How can they make fun of him with this name? No. We probably shouldn't call him. Like if you have a son, Joseph, you don't want to call the other one Mary, right? Like, that's just weird, right? So, like, as parents, you think, like, I'm not a dad, but, like, y'all think about this stuff, right? Maui. names are important. Like, not too long ago, I was on this. I was flying from California to Miami for a conference. And honestly, this trip was just interesting as a whole. I don't know if you've ever had the joy and the privilege of sitting close to or in the proximity of, like, a five-year-old in the airplane at night. No? Doing my thing, popping my headphones. And then there's this five-year-old that starts acting like a five-year-old. Starts getting crazy, and I'm like, bro, it's 1 a.m, relax. Now, to be honest with you, I didn't, like, start judging this kid. I wasn't like, ah, freaking five-year-old. I was like, pray for your boy. I was like, who's the dad? Who's the mom? Like, did y'all ever hear this? Did your mother not teach you some manners? Right? I'm going somewhere with this. You're like, where's he going with this? I started thinking, names really matter. Then, like, our last names matter. The Correa family, the Hermosillo, like, it carries some weight. The Montal, like what's your lot? Like, it speaks of who you are. Like, yeah, your first name, that's how you are. Oh, that's Eric, and that's Pam, and that's Melissa. But at the end of the day, you represent the Hermosillo family. At the end of the day, you represent the Correa family. So what you do doesn't just affect you, it affects your family, it affects your name. And I'd like to suggest to you that the truth is that it's also true with Jesus. The moment you said yes to Jesus, the moment you gave your life to Jesus, you bear, not only do you bear his image, but you carry his name. Right? You're a Christian, you're a Jesus follower. Like, people may never go to church, they'll maybe never step in here, they'll never read the Bible, but they'll see your life. And if you claim to be a Jesus follower, if you carry the name of Jesus, then we gotta represent him well. We carry his name. And verse 7 starts this way, watch. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I want you to circle two things in this verse. Number one, circle take and vain. Take and vain. Two important words that are going to help us understand this passage. Now, the word take in its original language can be translated to wear or put on. So don't wear or don't put on the name of the Lord in vain. All right? Now, the word vain can be translated to empty, small, or worthless. So this is what the passage sounds like in the original context. Do not wear or put on the name of God in such a way that empties him of his glory or reduces him to what he is not. That's exactly what commandment number 3 is. Don't wear his name. Don't put on his name in such a way that reduces God to who he really is. Don't put it on. Don't live a certain way that represents God in a bad way. Essentially, and it's I was going to title this message two things. Number one was, like, God's last name is not damn. Or number two was more than words. Because this speaks of more than words. It's not just of what we say, the tonality, the sound of it's the way we live. It's the way we represent the last name. It's who we represent. It's who we're living for. We carry Jesus. We carry his name. So we got to represent him well. Well, David, why in the world is God's name so important? It's important because in Jewish culture, you didn't just call someone like if I'm going to call this person, let's say David, I didn't just call him because it sounds cute, it sounds nice, it's a popular name, you know, Judah in our culture, right? Everyone calls their kid Judah nowadays. I'm not just going to call him because that's what everyone's calling that person. No, back in Jewish culture, people reflected on this name. What does this name mean? What does this name speak of this person? And that's why in the Bible, names are very important because they have meaning, right? So names are very important. It spoke of who they were. It spoke of their identity. It spoke of what they were all about. Now, do you remember in Genesis, God changed Jacob's name to Israel? And in the New Testament, God changes Simon's name to Peter, the rock. God changes Saul's name to Paul. Names were very important in Jewish culture. In antiquity, it spoke of their identity. And that's why in Exodus 3:14, when God appears to Moses on this burning bush, Moses is like, hey, God, so I'm going to go to Egypt, but when I get there, who should I say sent me? And God responds this way. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, this is important, I am has sent me to you. God reveals his name, which is I am. And I don't know if you caught that. Moses did not define God's name. Moses is like, hey, God, what's your name? And God's not like, well, Moses, what do you think I am to you? Moses, how would you define me? And we live in a culture where people want to define God, where people want to define God's name. Well, God's cool and all, but for me, God is this. For me, this is what I've titled God. And this is very clear that God is not reduced, that God in the Bible reveals his name. He lets us know who he is. And this speaks of what we talked about last week. God is God and we are not. And God gives his name and he says, I am. And now I am is God's holy name. It was it means that he is the becoming one. And the fact that God is the I am should encourage us this morning. Like if you're in a dark place this morning, I'm trying to get some air. If you're like, Jesus is the water, the living water. If you're thirsty this morning, if you're hungry for meaning, if you can be hungry for meaning, or if you're lost in this world, yes, you're the best. Thank you so much. If you're trying to find meaning in life and purpose, good news, because Jesus came to fill in the gap. Jesus in the Bible, he's saying, hey, if you're in a dark place, newsflash, I'm the light. Hey, if you're hungry for meaning, hey, I'm the bread of life. Hey, if you're lost in your way, don't worry, I'm the way. If you're thirsty, I'm the living water. That's good. All right. Now, I love that God's like, I am. God didn't say, I will be, or I was, like I was in the past, or hey, one day I'm going to be this to you. God is in the present. He lives in the today. He lives in the now. And God's like, hey, I am this. So what you're going through right now, God is saying, hey, whatever you need in that moment of life, do you need comfort? Well, hey, I'm your comforter. Hey, is your heart broken? Hey, I'm going to heal your heart. Hey, are you hungry? Good, because I am the bread of life. That's exactly who Jesus is. Jesus came to step into the gap, to fill in the I am. And that should encourage us this morning. So that's why God's name is so important. It speaks of who he is. It speaks of what he's all about, right? Two things as we're coming to a close. I told you this would be short, but the band cannot come up yet. Number one, if you're taking notes, we need to represent God's name well with our talk. We need to represent God well with our talk. Now that we understand that God cares about his name, now we understand that God calls us to honor his name. As Jesus followers, we are so prone to cheapen his name. We are so prone to make God's name small. And we do it in this way. The first way that we do it is we give false promises. Jesus talks about this, and let's be honest, we've all done this. Has anyone given you a promise that they didn't keep? Raise your hand. Only 5 of you, cool. Have you ever given a promise you never kept? We all fall short of 3. That's all we needed. That's all. Like, all right, let's pray. Like, we all fall short of 3. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says this: hey, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. And whether we do it consciously or unconsciously, we all do it. For example, I'm going to say something and I want you to finish the sentence. I swear to. No. Finish the sentence. I swear to God. How about this one? As God is my witness. This one might be hard. If you grew up in church, you know this one. Cross my hope to. Oh, shoot. That was like the challenge one. Like we do this. And like believe it or not, like, not like consciously or like we do this stuff. And Jesus said, hey. Like honestly, like think about it. We don't say like we don't say like I swear to the devil or I swear to Muhammad or like we don't say that stuff. Why do we say God? Why do we say Jesus? Because that's the highest name there is. And God's saying, hey, that name, leave it up there. Don't touch it. Don't mess with me. Like, don't swear on the mountains. Don't swear on the throne of God. Don't swear on me. Like, yo, if you're going to do something, just do it. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. And that's it. That's Jesus. All right? That ain't no test. That's Jesus. New Testament Sermon on the Mount. Go home, read it. Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7. Read them all. They're all so good. Just read the whole book, right? The second way is that we cheapen his name or that we break 3, right, when we don't honor his name is, have you ever heard this one, the Lord told me? This one's popular in Bible college. The Lord told me you're going to be my wife. Like, the Lord didn't tell you nothing. He should have told me, right? Like in doing that, like, we're breaking 3. Like this is stuff like we do, and it's like we don't think about it, but like that's 3, right? And how about this one? Like the Lord told me to tell you, to tell this person that they gotta do this. And who are you to disobey what the Lord told me to tell you to tell that person? Like that's the thing. If you grew up in church, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So Gilbert told me a funny story. And at his old church, there was someone that was prophesying. And they're like, here, church, this is what the Lord says to you. Just as Moses built the ark. Oh, wait. God said he messed up. Just as Noah built the ark. It's like, what? God messed up? Are you serious? Right? Like, this is real stuff. Like, all right, let's just move on. So obviously this is the most obvious one when we like use the Lord's name in vain, when we curse, right? And pretty self-explanatory, God's last name is not damn. All right, cool. All right, next one. As Jesus followers, we're called to represent God well by the way we talk. But 2, we need to represent God well by the way we walk. What do I mean by this? Remember what we said, that word in Exodus 20 verse 3, take, it means to wear or to put on. As Christians, we take on, we put on the name of Jesus, right? And we claim the name of God, and this is the danger. We claim the name of God, but we act in a way that doesn't represent him well. You see, we need to be people who don't just talk spiritual, but like we actually walk it out. And we need people who live in a way that represents him well. Like the greatest tragedy in Christianity today is that people who are fans of Jesus will call themselves Christian and live in a way that just doesn't match what they say. Like we can post all we want about Jesus, Like, we can post the Instagrams, like, and I'm like, yo, I do this. Like, y'all, y'all know I'm always posting, like, coffee with Jesus and, like, love this verse and, like, read this, read that. I'm at this place. Like, give me your best cold brew. Like you can post all that all you want, but, like, to be honest, you can't, like Instagram post, like, integrity. Like you can post, but God's not worried about that stuff. He's worried about your heart. He's worried about what people don't see. And that's what we read in the beginning in Matthew 7. This is Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, and this is like people that do what we do, ministry. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, casted out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves these questions. Are we the real deal? Are we the real deal? Is my relationship with God authentic? Why do I do what I do? What are my motives behind what I do? Is this real? Like, is there a desire in my heart to actually obey God? I'm not talking about perfect. No one's perfect but one, that's Jesus. But is there that desire in my heart? This is what God's word says, and I want to live by that. And this is not a question that I can answer for you. Your spouse can't answer this for you. But, like, this is something you got to answer. At the end of the day, you know the person in the mirror. You know what you deal with. Surrender that to Jesus. He is that good. Commandment number one. Commandment number one, everything flows from it. The reason we break 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, he can't even count, 10, is because we break number one. Because we haven't convinced ourselves that God is that good that I don't need to go to these things. Are we the real deal? You see, the heart behind commandment number three, it speaks not only of our speech, but it speaks of our actions. Don't wear the name of Jesus. Don't put on the name of Jesus if you're not going to represent him well. Because people will see your life as a Jesus follower. And they say, if that's what it means to be a Jesus follower, then I don't know that I want to be a Christian follower. Now the band can join me. And I know this, like, and I want you to, like, understand that this isn't coming from, like, a person who has it all, a person who's, like, just, like, trying to just, like, just bug you. Like, this is stuff that I deal with, too. And I'm learning. I'm there with you guys. I'm in this journey. And every week, I'm also like, dang, I got to check my heart. I got to, you know, go back to Jesus. And I want to finish this off by reading some scripture to you. Maybe you can write this down. Take it home. Meditate on it. I'm going to read them to you. The first one is in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. And this is all speaking of God's name. Proverbs 18:10 tells us, the name of the Lord is our strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is my strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praises. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, 100% good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And finally, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of man. And found it in appearance of as man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above all other names, every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those in heaven, on those on earth, those under the earth, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God cares about his name. It's holy. When we think about God's name, it should remind us of his holiness. It should remind us that he is good. It should remind us of his mercy. It should remind us of his faithfulness, because that's exactly who Jesus is. And as a way to finish this, and we're going to sing some songs and go into communion, I want you to think, like, the whole Bible is about Jesus wanting to have a relationship with us. Think of the first person in the Bible, Adam. I want you to put yourself in Adam's shoes for a second. Imagine you were just created. God formed you. You were just created. God breathes life into you. What am I? And God tells you, I created you. You get to enjoy me by yourself. This nature, it's perfect fellowship with me. And then God brings Eve. You both as a marriage can enjoy me. I'm your creator. Now imagine what that was like, a moment in life where no other people were around. It was just Adam by himself, Adam with his creator, and his creator telling him, I created you to have fellowship with you. I created you so that you could know me. I created you so that we could be close, so that we could walk this life together. How about you? But I'm kind of jealous. Like, man. And you read the Bible, like if you like Moses, he goes to the mountain, right? He goes to like a mountain like this, right? He goes to a mountain, and there he, like, the glory of God, and people are like, Moses, don't go up there. No man can see the glory of God and live. Moses, don't do it. And then Moses goes up there, and there God reveals himself, right? And then later in the story, I'm gonna spoil alert, crazy. God, the people are misbehaving, they're doing all this stuff, and God's like, hey, I'm still going to give you the promised land, but I'm not going to go there with you. And Moses says the most radical words in the whole Bible. God, I don't want no promised land. If you don't go with us, then I am staying here with you. What was that like? A relationship that was so intimate, was saying, God, if you go, then I go with you. If you stay, then I'm staying here with you, Jesus. That's why Jesus, and this is a story, Dr. Wallace, like, don't quote me, this is Dr. Wallace. There's a story of the farmer, so good, the farmer. Now, this farmer, it was snowing, and he realized outside of his window that there was this tree and there was these birds that were freezing out there. So this farmer thought to himself, man, these birds are going to die, they need some help. So then the farmer goes outside of his house, and then he sees the birds. He opens a barn, turns out a light, hoping the birds will fly into this barn. The birds don't. So this farmer's like, dang, what should I do? So then the farmer is like, hey, all right, let's bring a light. Let's try to guide them in. They wouldn't do it. The birds stayed there. So then the farmer thought to himself, what if I scare them into the barn? So the farmer scares them, trying to push them into the barn. The birds fly away, and then 10 minutes later, they come back to this tree. And this farmer thinks to himself, man, if only I could become a bird for 5 minutes and tell them to go in there so they can live, I would do it. That's exactly what Jesus did. He became man. He put on flesh and bone. He put on flesh, bones, blood. He did it all, saying, if only I could do this to show them the way. Jesus is the way, and Jesus is saying, hey, this is the way to life. Y'all want this tree and stuff. You think this is what you want, but you don't understand that that's actually death. You're going to die. Hey, this is the life. You need to go in here. And Jesus stepped into the world to show us the way, to be in a relationship with us. We carry his image. We bear his image, but we carry his name. And I encourage us this week, walk in that name, represent that name well by the way we speak and by the way we live our lives. Yes? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for this moment that we can come together and study your word. Jesus, we thank you because you came to show us the way. You came to show us the light. You came to take us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. You took us from slaves to son. You've changed us. You've given us a new name. And Jesus, would we step into that reality this week? That we can step into this life with hope, with joy, that when people see our lives, although our lives may be hard right now, but as we look up, Jesus, would people around us see you through us? Would we carry your name in such a way that honors you? Jesus, would take the time this week to really ask ourselves the hard questions. Am I the real thing? Is this actually an authentic relationship with God? And God, for those who may answer that no, would the devil not come and start condemning, but Jesus, would you invade their hearts with your grace? Would you draw them to yourself and say, yes, but there's hope? Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we pray this in your name. And we all say, amen.